Welcome to Innovator Die, a podcast about innovation and digitalization in aviation. I'm your host, Lorenzo Murzilli. Today's podcast is about the future of crop spraying. We hear a lot about spraying applications when it comes to drones. Especially crop spraying has been in focus in the last 2 years in Switzerland because of the implementation of a new procedure involving several federal offices. However, spraying is much more than this procedure. The substances are changing and the companies are using smarter drones that can spray on buildings in areas that were not accessible at all before. With us today, we have Nathaniel Apter, Special Advisor for Unmanned Systems with the Innovation and Digitalization Unit at the Swiss Federal Office of Civil Aviation. Welcome, Nate.
Hi, Lorenzo.
So, Nate, what do we understand under drone spraying applications today? Why do such operations have to be authorized?
So yes, today we have plenty of companies in Switzerland that are actually spraying with drones, and there is an historical reason why all these businesses need to have an operational approval from the FOCA in the first place. It's due to the fact that helicopters traditionally had to be authorized for those sorts of applications. So they were especially used over cultures for pesticides applications over fields. And this is also the core of the business nowadays for drones that are used on fields for crop spraying. So when we talk about crop spraying, we mainly talk about application of pesticides against fungicides and other other problematic diseases that are destroying cultures, especially in vineyards. So the focus has been a lot around that, and because of this historical laws coming from the helicopters, nowadays the drones also need to have an approval for such applications.
You mentioned pesticides. Can you give us a bit of a rundown which substances are actually sprayed and for which purposes? I know it's more than that. It's more than pesticides, right?
Yes. So there were several trials in the very beginning. There were several companies trying out several substances. Pesticides fit really well with drones because the payload cannot be so big. So usually, this is a very well understood application. Other applications were also tried out, like for example the application of fertilizer. But there, the payload needs to be much bigger, which doesn't necessarily fit in a simplified approach. What we have more and more is now applications on buildings and also for greenhouses, to paint greenhouses in the beginning of the summer season, but also for cleaning substances on buildings and in other places, which are very difficult to access for most technologies. And there the drones, and especially new technologies and new smart drones, which are able to access some remote locations, are very, very helpful in this extent. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm particularly curious about this last application you mentioned, like cleaning substances of umbrage for greenhouses. So give us your thoughts on how will this develop in the future? What are the leading edge applications? What are you seeing out there in the field?
Yeah, so for now it's still very much experimental, but the idea is also to have these experiments fit in a more simplified procedures to be able, as long as these substances are not considered as dangerous goods, to be able to provide a framework where companies can spray these substances. And I think this is very much increasing. We have seen this year much more companies interested, at least in this umbrage of greenhouses using different colors, which was not done 2 years in the past. We have seen a large increase for that and interest for that. And I think for cleaning applications, it's also very much increasing. Several companies which can provide also flexible drones, which can access remote locations where it's just impossible to access as a human or with other means are doing that. And now we see also a development which is extending with regard to automation, with regard to that, because in the first phase, of course, there is always the pilot conducting the operation. But the idea is also to automate such applications. And there, I think the pesticides business is also showing the way, because there is the most experience, right? It's also in Switzerland, we have now 14 companies that can apply pesticides over fields. And some of them are very, very much shaping the way towards more autonomy in spraying application.
Yeah, that's very interesting. It looks like, you know, we are kind of like at the forefront here when it comes to, you know, regulation as well as, you know, application of this technology. And what can we expect in the future? Like, do you see other substances also coming into play, other applications that are already knocking at the door, or are we now in a consolidating phase? How do you see the market of this application evolving?
Yeah, so pesticides is very much still evolving. It's still growing, which is quite incredible now for the third consecutive year. And I think there the development with regard to BV loss applications is also the highest. So the phase of development is now so far that we have companies also that are mapping the fields before with drones and get a 3D model of the fields and use this 3D model to calculate the trajectories for the drones to best spray the pesticide in the most efficient way. And this is all automated. And I think we see more and more automation coming into play. To remove the pilot is always a big deal, because there you need to have the procedures and the operational procedures, especially being completely remote and the piloting remote, and also the question with regard to airspace solved. So of course it's also a possibility in the long term, but for now there are still major challenges for pesticides application before getting there. But I see the developments going in this direction at the moment very much.
Right. So you're actually saying there is a like a need for autonomy that is somehow, you know, have to be managed by a adequate regulation to ensure safety overall, right? And we are kind of now making this transition between, you know, being more manual but somehow easier to approve, towards being more automatic but kind of more difficult to approve. And you are right in this transition right now.
Yes, and the fact that we have this flexible framework in Switzerland, which really enables also the manual applications to be done rather easily, allows also a certain sort of testing to get to the automation, so that you can always try to test your automation with having the pilot. This is always possible. And then slowly move to a more remote applications.
Quick question on you on the automation, because I understand, of course, the business aspects of it, right? And the fact that it might be quicker. Question is, do you see with autonomy like impacting the spraying application as much as also as efficiency of the product use? I mean, Is there a way that automation is also contributing to a better application of these substances, more effective, more, you know, environmentally friendly? Or do you see that more as a way to, you know, increase the business model, or, you know, the profitability of these operations?
So it is already the case today that for certain reasons, in order especially to lower the drift of this application, that the applications have to be performed in an automated way. At least the spraying itself has to be performed in an automated way. The flying of the drone on the fields is a different question. But during the spraying application, the drones need to be fully automated because they show a much higher precision using this flight mode than in a manual way. So this is already the case. And what we see also coming is, like I said, the fact that the trajectories for flight are also being more and more accurate because of the fact that we have 3D terrain models, which are themselves built on drone, partly on drones imagery. So, for instance, there is a company that is currently flying eVTOL drones to map 3D areas before having the spraying application itself, because they really want to have an accurate model, 3D model of the area before being able to best optimize the flight path and feed this flight path to the drone for its application. So here we have automation everywhere, more or less.
Very, very interesting. Thank you. So let's go back to one keyword you mentioned before, which is BVLOS, right? I mean, we are talking at right now, all what you mentioned so far is still being done in visual line of sight primarily, right? We you know, there is a pilot on the field and the pilot is in visual contact with the aircraft, even during these autonomous or automatic operations. But you mentioned there is somehow a pressure to start, you know, deploying these drones also beyond the line of sight of the pilot. Can you talk about that for a second?
Yes, so this is more and more increasing, and I think with the SORA we have the possibility also to go this way, but then a lot of aspects need to be slowly automated, as for instance the procedures or the piloting. So we can see probably in the future also one pilot responsible for several operations with an operational center. This is something which is also already also in discussion in certain companies and always a discussion with the FOCA if this is possible and if the workload allows it. Of course, this will be possible. What we have in the spraying field is we have two human parts in a way. We have the piloting, and we have all the responsibilities with regard to the substances. So usually the pesticides and handling the pesticides on the fields, which is also a human work in the end. And there someone needs to have a permit and it needs to be done in a certain way. And there automation also plays a certain role. The mixing of the pesticides, for instance, with water is done nowadays in a very different way than it was done before. We have smarter technologies for that. So I would say that there are lots of aspects, and the automation of each and every of these aspects is actually a piece of the jigsaw to get to the final picture here.
Wow, thank you Nate, thank you very much. I just want to, you know, summarize this quick chat. You know, what have we learned and from Nate and his experience? I mean, allow me to summarize it this way. I mean, we are seeing in the last 1 or 2 years a significant increase in the demands to our office to approve, you know, spraying applications. And from what you described, Nate, it's quite obvious the reason why that is because those operations are very much complementary to those that we can perform already today with helicopters. We can access areas that are not accessible before. We can, explore new business models, and we can spray new substances in different environments. And so there is almost like a new market being created and being allowed by smart regulation on that, right? And we see, in general, we see an increase not only in the number, but also in the different types of operation that we want to approve. I think what we have also learned, which is very, very interesting to me at least, is that autonomy in this area is not there only as a way to enable the business from a commercial standpoint, but it has direct implications as far as, you know, the efficiency and the sustainability of these operations. You mentioned that already today, for example, we have to fly automatically because that results in much, much higher precision and much less dispersion of pesticides or substances in the environment. So that I found it very, very interesting. And I also find incredibly interesting that we are doing this commercial operation. So we have, as you said, 14 or more companies already flying commercially, but at the same time, these companies are exploring possible futures such as, you know, beyond visual line of sight operation or swarm operations. So we are developing the futures while allowing somehow a market to already establish itself and develop. That I find very, very interesting. So thank you very much, Nate, for this conversation. And I would say see you all next time. Bye-bye, Nate. And that's all of this episode of Innovate or Die, a podcast about innovation, digitalization, and aviation. If you'd like to listen to more of such conversations, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast or stay in touch by signing up to our newsletter at www.foca.admin.ch. In case you have any questions, contact us on LinkedIn on Swiss U-Space implementation. This podcast was produced by the Innovation and Digitalization Unit of the Federal Office of Civil Aviation. Thank you for listening. Thank you.